is Nancy Krieger. I'm chair of the Spirit of 1848 Caucus, and I'm delighted to welcome you to the sixth of our integrative sessions. The purpose of the session is literally to integrate the three themes of our caucus. These themes concern the inextricable links between social justice and public health in relation to, first, the politics of public health data, second, the social history of public health, and third, progressive pedagogy. These themes are evident in the lineup of the sessions that we have organized at APHA this year, starting with our history session this morning on police and reproduction, lessons and legacies of eugenic sterilization, the session that we just had on introducing the RWJ Commission, evidence, politics, and action, and as you will see also for tomorrow morning, we have our session on broadening teaching about health inequities and social justice, which will include a presentation that builds on the session that we're just about to begin on how to use unnatural causes in classrooms and community settings. We then have a chance to showcase the work of the next generation of researchers and advocates in our student poster session on social justice and public health. And I also invite those of you interested in helping us with organizing our sessions next year to come to our Spirit of 1848 business meeting, which is on Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8 in the room 304. Additionally, to keep folk in touch throughout the year, we encourage you to sign in and become a member of our Spirit of 1848 listserv. It's an email listserv that's dedicated to postings that make explicit connections between issues of social justice and public health, and I suspect several of you here already subscribe. Note that you can get it in the digest form so that that helps reduce the email clutter. The information on how you can subscribe is listed on this slide, and we're also passing around a booklet, several booklets actually, that I hope that you will sign in because you can say that you're interested in becoming a member of the listserv, and that's an easier way to get things going to get you subscribed. And would very much ask you to encourage your colleagues, your friends, your students, whomever is interested in issues of social justice and public health to subscribe to this listserv. It's open to all who are interested, again, in concerns about connections between social justice and public health. Because it's only about educating ourselves about these connections and educating others about them that we can begin to make a difference. Which brings me to the focus of today's session on unnatural causes. Is inequality making us sick? As you will see, this film series, which will air in a few months in PBS, and which will also be ready in the form of DVDs for distribution and organizing, brings together all of the concerns of the Spirit of 1848. It draws on data, history, and people's lives in profound and dignified ways, so has opened up eyes to the realities of health inequities in our country and what can be done to prevent them. The urgent message is there. Action is needed, actively, not in the passive voice, meaning that we in public health here get to do our part, getting the message out to communities, to politicians, to policymakers, to advocates and communities of every stripe, and to the many in public health who have not yet embraced the vision and work required to make a true difference in rectifying health inequities and taking on the social injustice in our society. This is not just about reaching outside of public health, it is also about transforming us as well. This past October, I organized the Boston Premiere series of this screening, and I can tell you that it had an electrifying effect. We had over 500 people attend at a standing room only event, and we did this in part by inviting as co-sponsors many local and state organizations that are working on addressing health inequities, and that in exchange for being listed as co-sponsors, they had to publicize the event and then could have a resource table at the event, which they did, and they were thronged, and many of these organizations also met each other for the first time. We had key public health officials speak, including our State Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Judy Ann Bigby, who before her appointment had long been working on issues of racial ethnic disparities in health in Boston, our Commissioner of Public Health, John Auerbach, and our Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission, Dr. Barbara Ferrer, both of whom, again, have dedicated their lives and careers to working on these kinds of issues. We're also very fortunate in having two of the filmmakers be present, Lou Smith and Christine Herb Summers, and also Rochelle Pullain from California Newsreel. And then also there were a few of us academics present who appear in or served as scientific advisors to the film. What so stood out about this film is that it affirms the experiences of those now suffering the brunt of health inequities, breaking through the rampant individualism in our society, and making clear in the old-fashioned language of the day that the personal is indeed political. People's health woes are at once individual and societal. We experience them as the unique individuals that we are, but at the same time, there's a profound commonality to what are the options and constraints we face by virtue of the social structure of society and what that means for the social patterns of health that we see. If it were just random, if it were just about atomistic individuals, we would not see the population patterns that we do. Now, as for the structure of society, some consider it to be a ladder, others from a more progressive tradition know it to be a pyramid, with those on top literally standing on those below, gaining benefits from the squalid yet suppressed realities of oppression, exploitation, and the prioritization of profit over public health that so heavily lie at the heart of health inequities and threats to global health. To be effective, we must keep this basic social fact in mind. We see today's session as an initial step in getting out the word to a much broader public about the realities of health disparities and what we can do to end them. Meaning today isn't just about the thrill of seeing a sneak preview and meeting the producers, it's also about engaging, learning, and networking so that we can better work together to end health inequities. As we all know too well, these disparities that we see in our society, within nations and between nations around the globe, are the literal embodiment of inequality. They reflect deep divisions involving racism, class, gender, economics, and power. But that said, they are not inevitable, and there is another way. This is not simply a matter of ideology. There's actually science to show this. As the series is going to show, policies, programmings, and organizing can alter these societal hazards, whether they're about racial discrimination, about economic inequality, about unjust and unfair living conditions and working conditions, etc. Doing so requires the concerted action across different sectors of government, including housing, transportation, education, commerce, and more, alongside and in collaboration with public health agencies, medical institutions, and civil society more generally. It also requires shifting government priorities so that the purpose of our economy and also government, but in the case of our economy, private as well as public, is in fact the well-being and welfare of all, not the enrichment of the few. And for this to happen, we need a roused public. As Frederick Douglass, the ex-slave and abolitionist, famously said, quote, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will, end quote. There is no passing of the buck here. We, the public, that is the public in public health, and also the professionals in public health, must make this demand as informed and effectively as possible. As the images on this slide show all too well, we are absolutely not the first to make this demand. The struggle for social justice and for public health has very deep roots, hence the spirit of 1848 as our name. But we must confront and face the work of our generation. It is our time and our turn. We live in a society where media can make a difference. Witness the effect of the Michael Moore film Sicko is having in the U.S. discussion about the urgent need for a national universal healthcare system. But we also need society-wide efforts to make it possible for everyone to live a healthier life in the first place, to prevent social inequalities and for health, to prevent unnecessary suffering. This is where the PBS series fits in, to open up the discussion so that it could be both and, not either or. We both need to address the societal determinants of health and the social inequities that are at their root, and we need to ensure appropriate medical care for any who suffer from physical and mental ailments, injuries, and disabilities. And as you can tell from our lineup, we mean to engage you, hear you, strategize with you, and energize you, so that you can all leave here with a clearer sense of what we can do collectively to leverage the remarkable opportunity created by this PBS series to advance the research, work, policies, and organizing needed to end health inequities. To that end, let me give you a very brief rundown of how today's session is organized. You'll next hear from Larry Edelman, who's the co-director of California Newsreel, an organization dedicated to producing and distributing cutting-edge social justice films that inspire, educate, and engage audiences. Founded in 1968, California Newsreel is the oldest nonprofit social history documentary film center in the country, the first to marry media production and contemporary social movements. Examples of prior documentary series that Larry has produced include Race, The Power of an Illusion in 2003, The Road to Brown, about Brown versus Board of Education in 1990, and also just to make clear how far his roots go back in the social justice movement, Controlling Interest, released in 1978, which is a documentary that became a standard for those concerned about the growing impact of multinational corporations on global affairs. So we are very fortunate to have Larry here, and after his opening comments, he will then show selected excerpts from the series and talk a bit about what he's doing with them and what we'll be doing with them. But after that, Makani Themba Nixon, also an advisor to Unnatural Causes, will briefly talk about how we can use this series and its airing on PBS, along with other tools, to build a movement to tackle health inequities in context. She will then lead us in a guided dialogue to help us with our strategizing and organizing. In doing so, she will draw on her extensive experience as executive director of the Praxis Project, a nonprofit organization helping communities use media and policy advocacy to advance health equity and justice. Like the prior organizations that she has directed, including the Transnational Racial Justice Initiative and the Grassroots Innovative Policy Program, The Praxis Project focuses on developing tools and resources that help people translate local problems into progressive, effective policy initiatives. So we'll be in good hands for the open dialogue in which we expect all of you to participate. And then at the very end, I'll take 5 minutes to wrap up the session as a discussant. So Larry, your turn.